You're listening to Face Off, episode 51, recorded January 11th, 2010. Welcome to Face Off, your face-to-face web technology podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jade Robbins.
And I'm Mark Sanborn.
And in this podcast, we talk about various aspects of web technology, such as web media, web media. That works, web development, social media, and web entrepreneurship. Yeah. As always, you can view our show notes by going to faceoffshow.com.
So this is our 51st episode. We're over the hump, I guess, to 100.
Over the hump, yeah.
We kind of celebrate a little bit. Now we'll get back to kind of business. Last episode, we kind of had this like special 50th episode. And
We lied. We lied because we said we were going to put out a pre-CES show. Right. But we just said, you know what, let's just, no matter how tired we are, when we get back, and believe us, we're tired. It was whirlwind.
We went to CES, and I think we walked probably 40 miles.
Oh, easily. Oh, my goodness. My feet were so sore.
So, this episode is dedicated to CES. Totally. And it's going to be a good one, I think, because it was our first conference, so we're going to be pretty excited about this. If you've been to CES or you've heard about it or whatever, I don't know. It's really exciting to us because it's our first conference.
Totally, so. At all. I mean, I've never done anything like this at all. And not only was it our first conference, but it's like one of the biggest, huge expos. I mean, the running joke is like, this is the one that makes people in Vegas go like, whoa, is something going on? Because, I mean, it's big.
Yeah.
So, it was our first one. We had press credentials because of the podcast, which was really exciting. We really didn't use them that much.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were a little bit late to the party, and there's some events that were specifically for bloggers and things that we didn't make it to. So
totally, we were late to the party. Our first CES, you know, not only our first conference, but especially our first CES, we didn't know it, and we didn't pay enough attention to realize. Well, actually, I mean, any of the announcements for the keynotes and stuff came out after we made our reservations.
Mm-hmm.
So really, nothing we could do anyways. But everything happens like Tuesday, Wednesday. As far as press things, like the keynotes and stuff around town that you want to go see, you know, that really the general public is not allowed into, that's all, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, or...
Yeah, Tuesday. So the event doesn't officially start until Thursday.
Yeah.
But yet the biggest keynotes or the largest keynotes are on Wednesday, and there's even some events on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So, I think next year if we go, we'll definitely try to go earlier rather than later.
Totally.
Maybe lose a day on the end, but gain one on the beginning.
Yeah.
The start of it. So,
yeah. So, not only do we a lot of walking, I mean, not only do we do a lot of walking, there's a lot of driving around, too. So, I mean, we stayed at a place. They had a shuttle that went to Excalibur. And then from Excalibur, there was this, like, for CES, like, they have shuttles to every major, you know,
like every
hotel. Casino. That's the great part. It's free. It takes you to CES, to and from, nice, you know, buses. And so we did a lot of, you know, hopped our shuttle, drive, you know, get to Excalibur, and then hop on the CES shuttle, get to CES. And even then from within CES, there's almost like several stops because there was, you know, three big halls.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, CES is so large that they've got it spread out in so many buildings. I mean, most of it is at the convention center, as we found out, but... there is some portions of it in other areas, other buildings that you have to shuttle around.
Like parties over at the Wynn. There was conferences the Venetian, and stuff at the Venetian. Totally.
So it was good to see that the buses were going every 10 minutes to every single hotel and casino on the Strip, which is just crazy. I mean, this thing was huge. It doesn't matter.
Constantly riding, back and forth.
I mean, it didn't matter which building you were in or what area you were in. There was just tons and tons of people and... it was cool.
Yeah.
That way.
Yeah, there was so many people there. I guess, I don't know. I mean, when I expected to see a lot of press and a lot of, you know, exhibitors. But really, I mean, the part of CES that I didn't know went on at all was there's a lot of, you know, companies manufacturing and a lot of buyers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that you know, I think there are some people that, you know, are like, oh, you know, I own an electronics store. I want to see what TVs are coming out and stuff like that. But, I mean, there's a lot of... people who bought, you know, manufactured goods as well.
Like, you know, maybe it's a TV manufacturer and he goes around and looks at like the screen, the different screens or the different technologies and he tries to, you know, incorporate that or
yeah.
Or, you know, like emerging technologies that are coming and things that are working, or concepts. So we saw a lot of concepts.
Yeah, there was a lot of concepts, which were really cool. I mean, there was all kinds of stuff to see. Yeah. So, I mean, what we found, what we didn't know, again, we're totally new to this, and didn't do a whole lot of research, which was kind of our fault. But so the first day we get there, and we decide to go to the South Hall because it's the biggest, you know. Mm-hmm. So we're thinking that's where all the stuff's going to be happening, mm-hmm. right? And it was just packed with stuff. I mean, all kinds of, there's cool stuff. There was a lot of really what I would say was boring stuff. And I mean, by the end of that day, we were pretty exhausted. And the truth was, I was kind of like, I don't know if this is my gig. I mean, there was a lot of manufacturers, like OEM manufacturers and stuff in the South Hall. We did get to see like the This Week in Tech, Leo Laporte's booth, which was in the South Hall, which was cool. We were really excited about that.
Yeah, we really wanted to see Leo Laporte and Twit, and we walked right past him when we went in. It was like the first thing, first booth as you come in that hall. So.
Yeah, exactly.
It was really cool. We met Dr. Kiki and got to see Leo. Unfortunately, we didn't get to meet him. He was busy with his radio show and stuff, but
yeah, it was a bummer. But I mean, you know, we walked around the South Hall, and to be honest, after that, I said, if this is what CES is, I probably won't come back because there was cool stuff, but it wasn't, you know, I never had like that, like, moment. Right. And then so the next day, we were like, all right, well, let's check out the Central and the North Hall. And that was it.
Yeah, I mean, that was just amazing, especially like the TV displays. I mean, there's just TVs wall to wall, and you're just like, whoa.
Yeah. So we found like the North and Central Halls were really where the big displays were. The big companies, the big names. I mean, I remember at one point we were like, where is Palm? Like, I haven't seen this, you know, and then we realized that they were all in the North and in the South Hall. So that was, and I mean, after that day, we actually had to cut it short because we came in Thursday and we didn't get a chance to get down to CES. So we only had really Friday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. Or I mean, I'm sorry, we came down Friday, we only had Saturday
and Sunday. And Sunday was the last day. It was a shorter day and things like that. So I think there was a lot. There was less people. There was some of the booths were kind of packing up a little bit early and things, but it was kind of nice because it was you could navigate around. Totally. And things, but
like if you went like Thursday to the North Hall, you know, with like the big booths and stuff, you wouldn't have been able to move at all.
And some of the awards, the innovation awards and things have already been given out and things.
Totally. So that was good. We were really excited that we found that. I mean, all the halls were cool, but that South Hall was exhausting. It was huge. I mean, just massive.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of trends would you say that we saw here at CES?
Well, I mean, the obvious one that everyone's been talking about is 3D visual stuff for, like, you know, TVs and stuff.
So this was the big rage. You got to put these glasses on and watch this 3D. What did you think about it?
Well, I thought it was stupid and terrible because I am legally blind in one eye, so I've had very few 3D technologies work for me, and I didn't find a single one, not a single one that worked.
Hmm.
So for me, a 3D movie just means a blurry movie that is a pain.
So I tried pretty much every one that we could get a hold of because you wanted to see which ones
would actually work. I wanted an opinion. I was like, well, someone who knows that this works, do it. Tell me what happens.
So I pretty much tried them all, and you know, it ranged from and I think part of it is not the technology, but the actual video that they were showing. Some of it actually had stuff that came out of the screen and made you like move your head back because it's like, whoa, is this thing going to hit me in the face? And it was cool, but it seemed kind of gimmicky. You could still kind of feel like you're seeing like flashes or like blurriness when the objects are moving around while you have the glasses on.
I mean,
and if you kind of tilt your head in any weird way, you kind of get that same kind of effect. And I felt like if I was to wear this long period of time, I might get sick. I might get a headache. And then they had some other technologies where it wouldn't really do the whole sticking out of the, you know, at your face. And I thought those didn't add enough value to be wearing glasses.
Totally.
And I don't know if it was because, and they had different kinds. They had one that, you know, they took an old video. One that we know is an old video, Woodstock.
Yeah.
And they made that 3D. And so it's obvious that they've, you know, rendered it. They're trying to show off that we can make older stuff 3D too.
Well, that was a big thing of it is can you take stuff that isn't specifically 3D and make it useful with all this 3D technology?
And I mean, they did. They made it 3D and it's like it was meant to be.
I mean, I wonder how much work that took though, you know?
And we met one guy that he said, oh, well, we can do 3D on the fly with any video. And I was like, well, show me a demo. And he unfortunately didn't have, he couldn't get it working, but I'm worried. I'm not sure if that's going to work out, but the point I wanted to get across, I guess, was that even on those videos, it didn't, I was like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's worth putting the glasses on. And so, but I think 3D could potentially be, well, I'm pretty sure it's going to be because they just, every single booth had 3D stuff. Yeah. I think it's going to be a trend. It's going to get there, but I don't know what to think about it.
I don't
know.
I mean, I think I get the feeling that sort of the tech community as a whole kind of gave a collective, you know, the 3D, it's nothing great. I don't think I don't know anybody that is just like, I cannot wait to have 3D in my home.
Yeah.
You know, and to be honest, the theaters, you know, that's kind of the only new thing that they maybe have to bring people in. And I don't know. There were some cool technologies. We saw one, I believe it was at the Panasonic booth. They had non-fuzzy 3D. So if you weren't wearing the glasses, it did a pretty good job of not being blurry. The stuff that was really extremely 3D, it was blurry.
You wouldn't be able to watch the movie without the glasses on some of them.
Yeah, I mean most. I mean on most of them, 99% of them, when, you know, if you didn't have the glasses, it was blurry and stupid. And it made me mad. And I understand that I am completely in the minority here of people that cannot watch it, but I think that it's like a minority that shouldn't be ignored.
Do you think we will see 3D technology in like computer applications like Hulu and some of this online streaming stuff?
Yeah, no.
No?
I don't think so. I think we might start seeing more cool 3D technology in applications like AutoCAD. It would be cool to have 3D stuff, right? I mean, little bit, if it's done right. But I don't know. I honestly don't foresee 3D taking off in a big way. Possibly, I think, because of a show like CES where everyone is showing off the 3D technology and no one is just really, you know, freaking out happy about it.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just me. I don't know. I could be wrong, but, you know, that was not the technology that was exciting. I felt like that was not the buzz.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like everyone kept saying, well, this is the show of 3D. Everybody's got 3D. And everybody did. Everybody and their dog had 3D stuff.
But nobody was crowding around it and being like, ooh,
exactly.
That's cool.
Exactly.
We looked at the award winning. They had a section of these are the gadgets or things that won awards. I didn't see any 3D things that won any awards.
Nope. I mean, I had a harder time getting into sort of this dark booth to see like the ultra high contrast, super dark black, you know, LED TVs than I did to see 3D stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just goes to show that sometimes because the industry thinks the technology is going to be the big thing, I don't think it will be.
What about thin televisions?
We did see a lot of thin televisions.
And they were really thin. I mean, we're talking less than a half inch or an inch.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that range.
Totally. I mean, we took some pictures, and for the record, we'll put up a Flickr page or a Picasa page or somewhere with all of the pictures that Mark and I took. I tweeted out a bunch too, but I mean, like, there's like these whole rows of these super thin TVs, and we took a picture of, you know, quote, supposedly currently the world's thinnest television.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like 7 millimeters or something. Yeah, we saw some big, huge LCD screens too. I think the biggest one was 180 some inches.
Yeah.
It's like 11 feet long.
Like ultra high def. I mean, it had the same pixel density as your sort of normal television, only it was 180 inches wide diagonally. It was crazy. I guess the one thing I did notice about thin televisions, which I was really happy to see, was they didn't seem flimsy. LG had all these rows of super thin LCD televisions, and they didn't seem like they were just out in the open. They weren't in cases, like, don't touch them, you'll snap them in half. I mean, and looking at them, they seemed like durable technology, which was great. There was a couple OLED ones that were just gorgeous and thin. And
they had small ones, big ones, all around.
I can't wait. I think OLED is an awesome technology.
Do you think people will be more apt to hang them on their walls because they're small enough?
Oh, totally. Yeah, I mean,
I think so.
I think so too. It's something that it's that thin.
It's like a picture frame.
Totally. And they're really flat on the back. I mean, they almost have like a section for
it's like a piece of
components
glass
and stuff. But for the most part, I mean, it really snugs up to your wall. Like my plasma has kind of the big rounded fat back, you know.
Right.
I mean, nearly no near as big as a CRT, but
yeah.
They'll marry up really nice with that.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot more wall mounts instead of the stands. Because there's, why have a thin TV if you're not going to wall mount it? It doesn't really make sense.
But the other part with that is, like, what do you do with the cables? And there was some wireless technology out there, like some wireless 1080p technology, some wireless stereo, you know, speaker technologies and stuff. But I don't know. I'm just not sold on them yet. They looked okay.
It's always with that kind of stuff. It's always like, well, what's the quality? Because it's known that wires are almost always better in quality than wireless anything.
I mean, yeah. Am I going to notice a lag if I'm playing a video game? You know, I mean, that gets weird. So, but
if it does go to wall mounts, I think we will probably see a lot more wireless HDMI, whether it's wireless HDMI or wireless headphones or wireless, speakers. They had wireless speakers that you could just set anywhere, you know, for 5.1, you just set them around the house. And that's kind of convenient.
Yeah.
So at netbooks, we both have netbooks and we love netbooks. They're light, they're cool. We got to see did you see the size of the processor on the Atom processor?
Yeah.
It's like the size of, a thumbtack.
Oh, it's tiny. Oh, smaller than that.
Well, yeah, like half the size of a thumbtack.
Yeah, the actual processor itself was probably like 1 by 2 millimeters.
So we saw like tablets and really small netbooks with larger keyboards and just all kinds of cool stuff there.
And as far as like your netbook goes, I have decided that they are no longer that special of a technology. There really isn't much differentiating them other than style anymore. So it's a lot like laptops. I mean, there's a while there where laptops really could create new features and differentiate themselves. But now they've kind of basically leveled off, and you have to do something pretty special to differentiate yourself. Other than that, it's what features do you want? What keyboard do you want? What look do you want? That's really it.
I think we might see a full, like the power of a laptop in the size of a netbook.
Oh, yeah.
Soon.
Soon.
Really soon.
Yeah.
So. Any more other trends on the netbooks that you can think of?
No, I mean,
a little bit of tablet stuff.
A little bit of tablet stuff, which I like. I've always been kind of a tablet guy. What I liked about these tablets, though, is they were clearly not meant to be a computer. They're meant to just be a tablet, which, you know, is good for if you want to use them as a notepad and things like that. You know, I went through the struggle when I had my Toshiba a long time ago. You know, I was like, I want a laptop, but I want a tablet, you know. And now as I'm getting older, I'm saying, no, I want a laptop and I could have a tablet. You know, don't try and mix the two. You want your tablet to be small, really easy, really light to use, you know, pen, you know, input and have it do that really well, in my opinion. I think the convertible tablet is out. I think we're just going to see slates, you know, from now on in the future.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of booths so for somebody that's never been to CES, when you think of a booth, somebody might be envisioning like a small kind of a career fair style booth. but some of them are extravagant and huge.
Yeah. I mean, what we saw, the first day we went was sort of a lot of your career fair type booths. Mm-hmm. Maybe some of them were a little bit bigger with some cooler things, but mostly they're just little booths and you walked in rows to these different booths. But that's not the case for the big stuff. I mean, these big booths are freaking amazing.
So the one that, you know, kind of stuck in our minds was the Microsoft booth.
Yeah. I mean, as you if you listen to the show, you probably assume that Mark and I aren't huge Microsoft fans. I mean, I'm not a hater, but I'm not a lover. Mm-hmm. The Microsoft booth was great.
It was just huge.
They have demos of their products. They have just fun, goofy stuff, like these little buttons that you push to make music. Like there was an Xbox 360 button and an Office button and then another button. And when you push them and hold them together, you know, but you can't do it yourself. They're far enough apart that, you know, you have to have three people to do it, which is kind of like these sort of subtle hints, you know, that. And then when they work together, it makes this really sort of cool techno music.
Did you notice you could actually, when you made the beat or whatever, there was a computer there and it had a big button that said, put this on your phone as a ringtone?
No way.
That was pretty cool.
Cool.
They had the Surface thing too, like a bunch of them. And people were gathering around that and playing together, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, the Surface, as far as I know, as I had known before this, I thought that they had basically discontinued it because I felt like no one really liked it at all. Mm-hmm. But apparently there's some big names out there, like the Hard Rock Cafe in Vegas, we found out had purchased a bunch of Microsoft services. And I see why. They're really cool. It's, I mean, I guess on paper or watching a video, they don't seem that cool. But when you're there in person, they're fun and cool.
So what a Microsoft Surface basically is kind of like a coffee table screen thing.
Yeah.
You which is multi-touch.
Multi-touch. Yeah.
So you could, you know, you put your hands on it and you can kind of, you know, drag outwards to make pictures larger and smaller. And you can play, you know, it's like basically a computer. You can play like chess or games and... you can get like four people around it, and
we played like a tower defense game with like two other guys that we didn't know, and you know it's like you drag sort of the gun you want to shoot at a certain spot and let it go, and and then it shoots and stuff. It was cool. The one thing I didn't get to see with the Surface that I really wanted to was when they first launched it. They talked a lot about like device integration, like you know you set your camera on the table and it knows your camera, or you put your credit card on and it reads it. I was always curious, how does it do it? It must have like special RFID chips or something like that. They didn't have any of that sort of demo stuff. It was just sort of your plain Microsoft Surface, but it was really cool.
Yeah. The other big booth was Intel. They had this. They had this big demo of this like supercomputer almost, and they had all these people go up there and try to like break it.
Yeah.
By like giving it so much input, like. Basically, what were they?
Well, it was four giant screens, and in the screens they had all these little cubes that had pictures. It was a cube made up of a picture that was pulled from, I think they said like 20, like 200 different sources or something like that.
Yeah.
And so it was like all these. There's probably 1,000 cubes on each screen, spinning and wiggling. And if you go up and tap on a cube, it would bring up the picture and register a tap. And so they were trying to have like battles with between each side of this giant cube, who could get the most taps. So like the whole point was, you know, like it was fun to go up and play with and touch. But then when the competition was going, the whole point was to go up and try and tap as many cubes as possible. And the whole point was, it was, you know, the power of the Intel processor.
It never, ever slowed down.
Looked great. I mean, it's just beautiful.
Yeah. And then they had a huge netbook display. They were kind of showing off the Atom processor.
Yeah. So, there was individual manufacturers. We went to an Asus booth. We went to an MSI booth, you know, which has the MSI Wind and the Asus stuff. But this was great because it was Intel. So they had a bunch of netbooks from all the different manufacturers. And it was really cool. I mean, I know if you live in a bigger place with a Best Buy, you can do something very similar to this. But we don't really live in a place with a giant display of laptops to try out. Mm-hmm. So it was cool. We got to play with the new Dell Adamo XPS.
There's some really thin, they almost look like a MacBook, but they're running like Windows.
Yeah.
Really thin, sleek,
all
nice
aluminum
keyboard.
Construction, glass screen, a lot like the MacBook Pro. Yeah.
And then
another thing that we didn't really see that I wanted to talk about, you know, because we were like in the Asus booth and the MSI booth, there's a lot of these sort of all in one small PCs coming. There's like the small PC, which I mean there were some amazingly small ones, like tiny at the Asus booth, that are just absolutely small. And then there's a lot of like the all in ones, which is, you know, the screen with the giant screen, the touchpad that has an all in one.
And then the one that we haven't seen before, which was the computer inside the keyboard.
Yeah. I saw this announcement a while ago, but it was crazy to see it in person. I almost dropped it. It was really scary there for a second. But it is. It looks just like a thick keyboard, but it's got a computer in it. And so like you just would hook it up to a monitor.
Well, I think what he was describing, if I remember right, was that a lot of people would anyways, his idea was that people would sit on the couch with it and it would be hooked up to their computer via like wireless HDMI or something, and then be surfing on their they'd be basically use the keyboard and the computer kind of and control it on the monitor would be the TV.
Yeah.
I think.
And there was like a small like iPod touch type screen on the side too that, you know, had like auxiliary functions you could do. Really cool. MSI stuff. There was a couple MSI all-in-one, you know, small form factors. One of them looked like a Wii, which was a great form factor for your front room if you have a Wii already. Lot of cool stuff like that.
So the next one we saw was the Motorola. We got to see the Droid and some of these other phones. Mm-hmm. I mean, we like the Droid. We both have one.
Yeah, one of the big ones that I haven't got to play with was the Moto Blur, which the keyboard was a lot better than the Droid, I thought. It had a really good tactile keyboard.
Yeah, it was a little bit bigger, but it didn't really seem to take up more space on the phone.
Yeah, it didn't. The whole phone itself, though, I thought had a bad form factor. The keyboard was really good, but the front was like really big with a lot of sort of wasted black space on the side that I want to be screened.
Yeah, and the keyboard folded opposite of the screen.
Instead of like, so I mean, it was a clamshell, but instead of having the keyboard be on the inside of the clamshell, when you shut it, you had the keyboard on one side and then the full screen on the other. It looked kind of funky.
But I did notice it was really smooth. It was a lot smoother than the Droid when you're dragging up and down with your finger and things.
Very smooth.
And I don't, I'm not sure if that's it's got a better processor or if it's the new Android version, or I don't know. But
I don't know.
It was pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Another, you know, massive
LG.
LG. It was the first thing you saw when you walked into the center conference building. And it was just this giant display at the top of, you know, these sort of stitched together panels at the top. You walk in and it's glowing. I mean, the whole area is just bright and glowing with these screens everywhere. It was beautiful. Really cool. Thin TVs, OLED TVs, some 3D stuff, like we said. But it was sort of awe-inspiring to like walk in and you're just like, oh my goodness, this is like what I wanted CES to be.
Yeah. And then the next booth, we almost missed this because it really didn't look like a booth.
Yeah, it was like closed off and they just had a sign up front. And I guess I'd heard about this product, but I hadn't really paid much attention to it. And being we had press credentials, I saw a sign that said, you know, media, you know. So I was like, well, you know, we're media. Let's take advantage of it. So yep. I went up and we said, hey, can we take a look inside? And so the lady took us a tour around and it was Power Mat. And I tell you what, I mean.
I'm glad we did this.
Holy cow. I'm buying one. I am absolutely buying one. It was so cool. The other day we saw some of these chargers where that, you know, you don't have cords and there was like sort of three little contacts on the bottom and it like kind of sat magnetically into this slotted thing and it was kind of clunky.
So in a nutshell, this is wireless charging.
Yeah.
So I know how crazy that sounds, but basically you drop your phone on a little pad and it's charging and there's no plugging anything in.
It looks really smooth. The pads are all backwards and forwards compatible. You can charge so right now out on the market, they have just sort of their basic 3-unit one and, you can charge, like you can have your phones, but you can also get like a netbook adapter, which is, you know, your netbook uses a different sort of set of power than your cell phone. Mm-hmm. And so that's pretty cool that you can charge them both simultaneously. And they're really working with manufacturers to get, cause it requires a special battery door or a special battery. Mm-hmm. And they're really working with manufacturers to get them. But if they can't, you know, if they can't get a battery door, they also have this set of adapters
right.
that you can then plug into your phone and then, you know, take the clunk of the adapter and put it on the Power Mat.
Yeah. For like a netbook, a little tiny like USB adapter or something. Well, it wouldn't be USB, but you plug that in there and you just put your netbook down and it would charge. Until and so in that case you wouldn't have to buy a new battery, but they definitely have both, which was really nice.
Yeah.
And then that whole set you got like I don't know like 12 adapters, a pad, and some other stuff for like $79. I think she was saying, which is it's not bad at all.
No,
great. I was price, really expecting cool. like $200 or something, and this is really a kind of emerging technology that was really helpful. I mean, just to be able to stick your phone on your desk and it starts to charge.
Yeah, and they're coming out with like a car dock that has a power mat behind it. So you like, you know, it's like a dock that you plug into your power thing and it you know, it's like a cradle to hold your phone and you put the phone in there in the cradle and it's got a power mat on the back. And so it charges your phone while it's sitting in a cradle without any cables dangling down to the power thing or anything like that.
I'm really hoping that some of these manufacturers pick up these guys and just put the batteries in the phone by default.
Yeah. Oh, and remember they had a like camcorder batteries. If you just buy the special camcorder battery for that, then you can just take the battery out of the camcorder and set the battery on the power mat and charge, you know, 10 batteries at once. Mm-hmm. Very cool. I mean, we were super impressed with these guys. It just was a technology that I wasn't really paying attention to. I thought it was kind of vaporware or just, you know, like, look, it's wireless charging, but really it's just, you know, electrical contacts. I mean, this is not. It's like crazy. It looks great too. It doesn't look clunky. It looks sleek. It's got nice white LEDs on the front. I mean, it looks great on a desk.
Yeah, and it makes a little noise when you set your phone down, so you know it's charging. Yeah. When you pull it off, it makes noise. And it's
very cool. The other booth I want to talk about that we forgot to put in the notes was the NVIDIA booth, which was cool. I mean, it's NVIDIA, but at the NVIDIA booth, we saw the Boxy Box and got to talk to the Boxy guys, which super cool. The new Boxy, if you don't know, is sort of a media center application that uses a lot of these internet-based TV services like Hulu and CBS.com and stuff to do that for you. And it has a lot of social interactions.
It's kind of a web app for a TV or a computer. They do both. And
yeah.
I think we've talked about them before.
I think so, too.
But definitely check them out if you haven't. Basically, you can, I mean, it's Hulu, like Clicker, Twitter integration, YouTube. They've got it all, and it's kind of like a media center.
Well, it, yeah, I mean, it's an app. Boxy started as a media center app. Well, they just announced the Boxy Box, which is, you know, it's just a box that you can plug into your TV, and it runs Boxy.
So you don't have to have a computer hooked up to your TV anymore.
Yeah, and you just, it just uses Boxy, which it's a great-looking box. It looks like it's like a cube tipped on one side. Looks really cool sitting in your, you know, it looks stylish. It doesn't match sort of your normal AV equipment, but that's, I think that they wanted to make sure they didn't do that. Mm-hmm. The keyboard or the remote for the Boxy Box is really cool. It's like this sort of little remote. And if you flip it over to the other side, it has like a little keyboard to click on it. Cause we all know that's like one of the big problems of doing anything real on your TV besides just watching TV is the keyboard.
Yeah. I thought that when he flipped that remote over, I was like, wow, that was cool.
Blown away.
Yeah. And you know what? I would put this as one of the trends. We saw a lot of these media style boxes from tons of different companies. But I think Boxy has got a little bit of a leg up with the remote control and some of the
remote control. And it's just a proven product that was software outside before they started doing the hardware that people know and trust and can and recommend.
And it runs on Linux. And
yeah, I mean, you can run everything. And then this now they've just taken that OS and put it in a good piece of hardware. I can get behind that 100%. I would recommend anybody. I wouldn't recommend any of these other media boxes.
They also said that the remote control could also be sold separate, so you could hook it up with another application that uses a keyboard and remote control.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think he might have meant that the keyboard isn't included with the box, that it is sold separately. I'm not sure. We'll have to go look for clarification. Okay. But yeah, that's cool. Because I think it's RF. Maybe it's Bluetooth. I don't know. We'll have to look it up. But very cool. I was really glad to find the Boxy guys. I've been using it for a while. Great program. And they're cool guys.
So do you want to talk about some of the other products we saw there?
Oh, there's so many. So those were kind of the big ones. Oh, another big one, we saw iFi, which we recommended iFi in our Christmas episode. These guys are cool, too. They're really working hard. They're trying to make, you know, use the SD cards that write faster, read faster, trying to get, you know, faster network speeds within the card itself. Cool guys. Mm-hmm. And they have this whole software as a service thing I didn't know. Like, if you take a picture and iFi, if you told iFi to use public networks, it actually connects to the public network. If it can't directly talk to your computer, it uploads your photos to the iFi service, which then get downloaded to your computer.
Yeah, it was a great product before, but they are really working to make it even better.
Yeah.
And the new one also has faster write speed. So if you have one of those cameras, it can take like 5 pictures a second.
Totally.
It'll be supported.
Very, very cool. Okay. So these are some of the other just products. Those were a lot of the big ones we saw. Some of the cool things that we just saw was like a TV that works underwater.
Yeah, that was
very
cool.
That was crazy.
I think what we'll see here is maybe a company will want to have a screen outside maybe to show some things, you know, kind of a weathered.
Or as a consumer, let's say I have a hot tub and I want a TV for outside, you know, I can hook one up and not worry about it if it gets a little wet, you know.
Definitely.
Just showing that they can seal products off and make them very durable. It's a cool thing.
Another one was this air drone. It was like this flying machine.
It had 4 rotors on it and it was really smart. The 4 rotors really worked well to compensate for each other. So it would be hovering in midair and the guy who was running the demonstration would slap it on the side, which, you know, any other thing would just tumble it right to the ground. Mm-hmm. But the air drone compensated and then leveled itself out.
And also, it had sensors. So if he put his hand underneath it, it would make it rise and fall. So there was, I mean, and it had I think it had some sort of an eye, too, because one guy had an orange, some kind of an orange object, and it would focus on that object.
Yeah.
So and it was pretty cool. And it flew around and I don't know. It won some kind of an award. I don't know.
Yeah, there was like some best of CES. I mean, well, there's pretty much every major publisher does like a best of CES thing. But there was like this big hallway, and I think this was the Consumer Electronics Association's best of show for certain things, and it definitely won awards for that.
It was one of the focal points in that South Hall, the one that we didn't like as much.
Yeah, like if you watched my tweets during the show.
You did a video on this one.
Well, yeah, like Saturday, I didn't tweet a whole lot because there's only a few things that I was like, this is pretty cool. I'll tweet it out. And then, you know, Sunday was, I was like tweeting out like every, you know, 20 minutes.
Another cool one was the USB flip power. That's where you could just take a USB device and you basically like plug it into the an existing outlet. And then you could still, it doesn't. take up that space on the outlet. You can still
plug
in. It,
like, rotates out of the way or something, you know. Yeah, so it still leaves, like, the regular socket plug-in, so you can plug in something there, but then there's a little USB port that you can charge USB devices with.
Yeah, so you don't have to have, like, this, you know, this iPod special cable plugged into your outlet all the time. It was kind of cool. It looked like an innovative... It looked, you know, inexpensive.
Yeah.
And a good solution.
And very useful. Totally. Another goofy one was the putty cleaner. This was just goofy because it was like silly putty, but liquidier and stickier.
Yeah.
And the whole point was like you know to go up to your keyboard and put this sort of liquid putty over it, and it'll pick up all the chunks and stuff.
Like out of the keyboard.
Oh well, he was trying to give like this whole spiel about like it'll pick up germs and like you know you'll be cleaner and stuff. And I was like, no, it'll get the crumbs out of your keyboard, your Dorito crumbs.
And it might only last like two cleanings.
Yeah, exactly. And then he was trying to sell them, which then, I mean, you almost just don't trust a company when they try to sell you stuff right there. You know, it's like instead of like, you know, are you a distributor looking to purchase this and put it in your store? It's like, no, we're selling them 2 for $5. Like, what? Okay.
So it wasn't that great, but it was interesting.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Another really cool company was OtterBox, which they've been, I guess a couple of our friends really like OtterBox stuff. I'd never used them before. But what was cool about them was they gave us a free waterproof case, like
to check it out with. And I tried it out. I put some paper in it and ran it under the sink for a while, and it's totally waterproof.
Yeah, and they do like you know really rugged cases, not like just your I don't want to drop my iPod and scratch a case. Like it's like
I would feel confident if I stood on it.
Yeah, totally,
definitely.
So OtterBox is really cool.
So if you're going on a rafting trip with your droid or something, get an OtterBox. This one was cool. TeleSense. It's basically a motion sensor that sits near your TV, and you know, and it detects if you're not there, you fall asleep or something, it'll shut your TV off. Mm. Now we see, especially in plasmas, we see like burn in and things, and if you fall asleep, I know this has happened to my brother. The TV can start to burn in and things. This one was pretty cool. It's basically it, and it's pretty cheap. I think it was like $39.
Yeah, that's great because that's a really simple solution. You know, it beeps before it shuts off your TV. You wave your hand, it won't shut off your TV.
yeah, it'll beep it so it lets you know. Another cool one is the i2Stream.
Yeah.
That one was where you can take an existing pair of headphones and hook it up to any, you know, like it basically had a send and receive mode. So you could hook it up to your TV and your computer and then like switch between the two. So basically, you can make any headphones like wireless. I thought that was really cool.
Well, it was just one of these little products, didn't have a super fancy booth. And we looked at it and we were like, okay, well, what's this little thing? Super useful. I mean, use your own headphones. You don't have to, you know, use wireless headphones that can be a pain in the butt or anything like that. So your own headphones, three sources, and they really just kind of work together, which is great. There's really no configuration. You get two of them when you buy a pack. Anything on the same color will work. A receiver can be a transmitter. Transmitter can be a receiver. And they're coming out with a new version. And if I remember correctly, it was relatively inexpensive. Wasn't it like 50 for two of them or something like that?
I think it was on the more expensive side. I think it was closer to 100.
No.
But I'm hoping that it's lower cost. Wow. Because I here's the thing is I don't want to buy an inexpensive pair of wireless headphones and then decide later, well, these aren't very good quality. I'm going to get rid of them. And then I just wasted the money. Basically, with this, I could upgrade my headphones and still have wireless. Yeah. You know, I can buy.
Or if you don't like the wireless technology, that's okay. You still have good headphones. You know?
Yeah. So I like that aspect of it.
Well, anything else? I mean,
there was a lot of cool stuff. Definitely check out our Flickr page that we're going to put up. And we're going to put out some, you know, pictures up there. You can check it out. And I don't know. I think it was a pretty good show.
It was a great show. There was definitely like no web technology there.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Basically, gadgets.
The two things I really wanted to go for. I mean, it's great to go to a show like this, see the industry, see where it's going. You know, I mean, I just love technology in general. But I really wanted to go see video games that are going to be released next year and check them out. And I really wanted to see some web technology. The only really web technology we saw was Evernote. We got a card from the Evernote people, so we're going to try and get an interview with them in the future. But there really wasn't a whole lot of websites up there. It was a consumer electronics show. It was gadgets.
Definitely.
And same with the games. I mean, it was all gaming gadgets. It wasn't really video games.
It was like gaming peripherals and phones and things.
So the things I was really looking to get to, I didn't really, there wasn't any there, but it So that's okay because it was a great experience.
Yep. Hopefully we can go to a web development conference and report on that in the future.
We're looking at them. We're looking at them already, starting to save up. All right. Well, that does it for this episode of Face Off. I want to remind you guys, if you haven't subscribed yet, go to faceoffshow.com/subscribe. And leave us a note on the show. Please go to faceoffshow.com/feedback. We love to hear from you guys. Let us know if you saw some other devices that were at CES. And maybe we didn't talk about them in the show, but we can tell you our thoughts on them or whatever. So go leave us a comment. And we'll see you guys next week.